Yeah, you're the public hearing first. Just open the hearing.
I like to open it, everybody can see.
It's very good, Justin, a little slow. Senior citizen low-income partial tax exempt, disabled citizen exempt, and slight scale hearing. Questions, comments, concerns?
There's no change in the sliding scale from last year.
We just have to approve it on an annual basis.
That's correct.
Any other discussion? Questions? This is for the public as well. Any questions for the public? Today, we're looking like we got a question.
Not on that.
He's not a senior citizen yet.
I would like to hear you say it again.
Would you?
Okay.
He'll say it when he closes it.
All right, so if there's no more discussion, I can close the public hearing for the senior citizens low-income partial tax exempt and disability, disabled citizen tax exempt and sliding scale. So that was easy.
Now you want to open?
Now we can open the meeting of the carriage. Stand.
The United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public participation will be limited to this evening's agenda item only. Anybody? No public participation. Only once, only twice. So, okay. Minutes of the December 15th workshops and regular meeting approved. So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So move. Minutes of the January 12th workshop.
Motion. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So move. Board committee reports. So this is the old board committees, the literacy committee, the
whatever committees have met at any time.
None of them have met as far as I know.
Wellness did.
Wellness met. I'm so sorry, think of that. Well, what do you have to report?
Oh, they had Blue Cross Blue Shield come in to, or Blue Shield, that's who you have, Blue Shield, right?
Yes.
Come in and they were looking to do a Zumba class or a, what else?
Nutrition class.
Every
Wednesday.
4 weeks. Yep. And they were looking at other avenues that they could help them come in and do a health fair or a, they were very informative. Well, a different type of camp for people.
This would be for faculty?
Faculty.
Do they do any Zumba classes for students?
Well, they're looking into having it off-site, something with the insurance for non-employees or something.
Mm-hmm.
She was explaining
what about the
legal? That's supposed to start. This start next week, right? The
nutrition class starts next Wednesday.
But your town, your thing.
Oh, the Battle of Wolves?
Yeah, it starts Monday.
And there's also a Weight Watchers program that we're trying to get here. Even if one in care, they wanted to get one for the spring. Greenville invited us to take part of theirs.
Oh, they didn't mention anything about that.
No, because we went with the
Battle of the Bulge,
the Blue Shield of Duke, right?
Right.
Who's talking?
Janet McKeon.
Oh, and that's just in Caro, or that's district wide?
It's just district.
It's going to be held, though, at the Caro Elementary School.
So they're just going to hold the Zumba. If they do any of that, it's going to be outside the school.
They're looking into it because there's something with, if you weren't a Blue Cross member.
Janet, were they four member teams? Or
for the battle? There's four member teams, yeah. And I know in Caro, there's a few singles right now, so if anybody needs a team, there's some people looking for teams. I don't know if they understand.
You can pay for it. Personnel items.
Yes, one.
So we have a motion to approve A through, actually, there's another amendment here, there's one, Jeremy Pearl.
Right.
A through one.
So do you want to do A through one? All right, so motion to move A through I, personnel items.
Move it.
Second.
I don't know if we got, they all did it at the same time, we're gonna give it to.
I just picked one.
That's right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Seven. Yes, you have to go A through E, not seven, no. Seven is A through E, yes, I'm looking at A or A. D, explanation of D.
No, we need to pull B out for discussion.
You wanna do that?
Well, how else can we do it? We can't approve two drafts.
No, you're on, we're on seven.
Seven.
Business items.
A through E, Carl has, wants an explanation of D.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We can ask for that explanation. Lisa, do you have some change orders?
What's in the board packet?
Yeah.
It says that it is upgrades to hollow metal doors. Proposed labor, material, and equipment necessary to upgrade the hollow metal doors. Change all doors to steel stiffened doors and modify the seamed edge to a seamless edge.
What was the original bid for?
This is to do with the project from this past summer. Okay, that's what this is. This looks like it's catch-up paperwork. It says, per the return door and frame schedule received 10/3/11, we note the following changes, and that's just what I read to you. The steel stiffeners, the door construction, the seamed edge to a seamless welded. Yep. And then there's the cost breakdown. I'm sure Kevin has the details.
So what happened was the door got delayed and someone said he's not.
I'm not sure. If you want to table this, then table this to the next meeting, and we'll ask the architect and construction manager to provide more specifics.
Because I didn't see anything.
Yeah, it's here. It's provide labor, material, and equipment necessary to upgrade the hollow metal doors, change all the doors to steel, stiffen doors, and modify the seam edge to a seamless edge. Okay.
That's the change order, but why the change order?
Was the bid originally for the wrong item, or?
Or was it?
Did they go up in price, or?
I don't know, but if you'd like to table it, I suggest you table it, and we'll get an explanation from the architect and construction manager.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Table it since.
So we're postponing this till the next meeting.
7/8.
Yep, okay, I got a motion.
I second.
Thank you.
So the motion is to table 7D to the next meeting. Has everybody got that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So then we need a motion for 7A, B, C, and E.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved.
Thank you.
Eight. Eight will go through. Yeah, I think we're gonna have to, except maybe A through C. And then we'll have explanation. So is everybody okay with doing A through C?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So, okay, so D. Please can you end this
one? I'll try my best. Apparently, I think I provided you a memo in your packet. Let's just review that. The state The state passed a law on December 2011 to provide assessment relief for those victims of Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. It is up to the local jurisdiction, the local taxing agency, whether or not they would like to provide this relief to those taxpayers. It provides property that lost 50% or more of its value as a result of flooding is considered catastrophically impacted. Okay? What has to happen is the taxing jurisdiction, town, village, school district, has to pass the resolution before January 23rd in order for this to become effective for the 2011 assessment. Once it is passed, it is up to the taxpayers to apply to the assessor for this relief, and there are certain criteria that have to be met.
Okay, we don't have to determine those.
We do not have to determine. It will, if you pass this, it will impact the district, because if a taxpayer is found to have 50% or more of the assessed value lost, and they paid their taxes, the district will be refunding the amount paid to the taxpayer.
Do you know how many people might get into that category?
You know, I called the county and asked them if anyone else had approved this, and two, if there were a total. Unfortunately, they did not call me back. I called my local constituents. Greenville is not passing this. Coxsackie is not passing this. I was unable to contact anyone at Catskill. As far as the number impacted, I heard anywhere between 20 and 30 homes within the Carroll Green District. Yeah. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I heard. So it's basically up to the board. And unfortunately, there's a very short window that the board has to adopt this.
That's good.
January 23rd, so it's... Yep.
Now that's for the current tax year.
That's
there's
correct.
Nothing saying that
it's going to go forward.
Right, but there's also nothing saying that the individual, after having the catastrophic event, couldn't apply to the town to have their property reassessed for the next tax cycle.
Doesn't go
right.
So
yeah.
For the next cycle.
Yeah. Right.
So that's all the information I have, and I've garnered it from the real property tax website and what was mailed to us.
50% or more is really catastrophic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it, again, it's to the
there's
board.
Not much recourse anywhere else.
Yeah, no,
for people
houses,
in that category.
The Durham town clerk had said there was upwards of 26 houses, I think, that were affected, 26 families that were affected in Durham properties. So that's pretty substantial.
Yeah, 50%.
Oh, no, she didn't say that. That's how many were affected. How many? If you look through the area there, some of those houses.
Yeah, I have a feeling there would be a lot less than that that are over 50%.
Yeah.
It just seems like the logical thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, we've already allocated those monies.
Yeah, I know. We didn't allocate the story.
No. Nobody did.
You know, when events like that occur, you have to make a little adjustment, it seems like, to me. But, you know, I don't know where we tighten, but it may require that. And it may not be that many when it comes down to it. But, you know, it just seems to me our area was hit by that storm, and we need to be sensitive to those that were really deeply hurt.
To Lisa about it, and there was no way to figure out how much money we're talking about because we don't know
which
properties we're talking
about.
That's
the indefinite part, I know.
Yes.
A lot of
is
this
there a finite period that they have to apply in?
I believe they have to apply almost immediately to March 1st, and then March 8th, and then the assessor is the one that makes the determination. So all that we need to do is pass it or not, and then I notify the assessor and all of our taxing jurisdictions that took this action.
So since it's adopted by New York State, Bob Conley, would we get the money back?
No. No.
No, of course not. Come on, New York.
You're funny.
Yeah.
Well, some people dream.
Bob says
Governor Cuomo back. Just had a sharp pain in his back.
Only one?
He's not going to sleep tonight. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars.
I'm not thinking it's going to be hundreds of thousands.
It's a blind.
I'm talking 50%
of the damaged property.
It is so small and minute that
I don't think there's going to
it would be an impact to our situation. The number of homes that do have 50% or more, I'm kind of in agreement with Bob on that to go ahead and allow that. I like I say, you know, 20 or 30 homes even in each town, and then to have 50%, it's going to be far lower than that.
Right.
And you're talking. On average, you're talking $1,500 to $2,000 per home that it actually affected. That's the actual dollars amount. I don't think you're talking $10,000. I would, you know, in fairness to those that have lost that much,
it's at least we did
give them a break.
I would move we approve item C.
D.
What is it? D. I'm sorry.
It's my job.
My eyes are.
So I have a motion.
Second.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So moved.
Thank you.
A discussion of the two drafts of the honorarium policy. We were supposed to be discussing this meeting to see which one we want to go with.
I'll start it out.
Then start away.
All right. I would like to support the shorter reading because I think we want to have encouragement and support for those who are willing to serve beyond the local school district because I think we all benefit from everyone who does. And as long as it doesn't cost us, it seems to me we can allow the remainder beyond the cost to be kept by the person of any honorarium. So I would support that.
Yeah, and when I had to talk to school boards about it, they had no say either way. They said you can do pretty much whatever you want. We talked about the double dipping. And they said they don't.
If it's honorarium, it's not a problem.
We also said talk to our lawyer because they don't want to make a decision on that. They didn't.
If it were a salary, that would be a criteria. But if you're talking about an honorarium because it's a one or two shot type of thing in a year's time, that should not be in that category.
I think we talked about the drawback if it is a double dipping situation doesn't appear to be. We've also talked about how it would work, so we have to set up some sort of system to follow that.
Yeah. Out of whatever remuneration comes, they would have to be
just
reimbursed
the
school for the cost of the substitute. Mm-hmm.
So is that a bookkeeping nightmare?
The individual needs to notify the district that this is the reason why they're going to be absent that day, so that way we can track it. We can track it by absence reason code.
Well, they still have to get permission,
right,
to the superintendent to participate in that activity.
But
so
I'm thinking down to the personnel level, how do we track an employee's attendance? And to do that, we would identify that they're an honorarium situation. And that way we can pull a report from our system saying, these are the substitutes for that date.
Okay.
That's how I would track it in the district office.
Yeah.
Use a system.
Use a code of some kind on that.
Yep. So it wouldn't be a nightmare as long as the notifications are in place. And that's easy.
talked about this once before, how many times has this happened in the past?
Well, it's not all that many, but it seems like we would want to be supportive of those who do agree to serve in the, at those levels.
Teaching courses. The work that we're talking about is state ed, test development,
okay.
Or AP development, test development, stuff that we're doing.
Or something like that.
No, not grading. It's not grading. It's test development.
Oh, test development.
Right, to weigh in on the state testing.
When that's
what
brought to
that's
you.
What it's been, AP exams.
Yeah.
That's when you get there.
When it's brought to you, Sally, they bring proof of it occurring, right? Proof of the request that they were there or just.
Or, well, they give us something that says what it is.
What it is.
What happens, but. Sometimes you get proof in there and sometimes you don't.
So we have to have proof.
Yeah. And
always provide the salary the state's given them.
Right.
The timesheet the state's given them.
Yeah.
So it's always from the state. And in the past. Well, that's the thing. I'm
college
about.
Board, I think.
Yeah, it might end up being.
If it's AP, it'd be college board.
But it has to be approved. So.
And how that's all worked is not really policy, that's all procedure.
Mm-hmm.
To get to determine that. Mm-hmm. Well, I have no
further questions. Do you want to put a limit on it to say that they can't go more than
days or money? Can't go
three
money,
times
I guess.
Or
three times a year or semester?
Three times a year or twice a year or
you can say no no matter what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
At that point, if it's out of hand, which
I
mean,
it
has not.
Yeah, if it becomes obsessive,
right.
Then,
right.
You know.
There aren't abundant opportunities.
Right.
Right.
Sure. That's
really
Bob's point.
I don't think they can do it once a week.
Change it to that they get to keep whatever money they get and just pay for the sub. That's the difference.
It's
yeah.
No cost.
They
just
get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they
make
out better.
They
make
out
better this
does.
Way.
Correct.
Because
you're getting paid twice.
The original, this has been going on for a while, but the original thought was to make it so they wanted to do it and get care of them. There's a such and such. Care of them, and then it's a no more discussion, so then we need to adopt. I don't have my computer open, so which one?
It's
so
AE, and you have to
put it forth in the next meeting.
Right. This would be your first actual reading
of
the policy.
Mm-hmm.
At the next meeting, you can waive
the reading of the second.
Correct. So this would be your first reading. So.
Which one is it?
AE?
No, AE is the item
the
number.
Discussion.
Which policy are we talking about?
There's not a number on it yet because I wasn't sure where to put it at that
you're
point.
It's
so
a shorter one.
Okay. So I'm just going to put
page
the
two.
Page two.
Right.
We'll bring that up for a second reading next meeting.
Right. And I have it down as the short version.
Okay.
So this will I'm going to put this will show up in the minutes as the first reading of that policy.
Page two
of the short, right.
Well, in the future, it'll just be the.
Right. Well, now that I know which one you're looking at,
right.
And I can kind of try to figure out a number for it. So.
Okay. Yeah, so we need a motion.
You do not, you had the first reading.
We had the first reading.
That was it.
We don't need to waive the first reading.
No, you just had it.
We just had it.
Yeah, we, because I want to make sure, now I'm like it. All right, so that was easy. F is the policy manual discussion. So at the last workshop, we had policy manual discussion, we discovered we need to kind of condense it. So the proposition I'd like to bring forward is let's talk about at the next meeting, which is when?
February 9th.
At February 9th meeting, we will approve, remind me, Barb, is it Sue's and Bob's?
Yeah, Bob's had no changes except
right.
the addition of the honorarium policy. Sue had the one change, I
right.
think, in it. So those two you could possibly do, but you have to do it by reading.
Yes.
So that will be the first reading of their policy.
Of their policy,
then.
Yes. So Tom, what happened? You missed that. Is we decided that we would adopt the policies as we as the group has reviewed them and set them forth. A couple of people, there seem to be a lot of things to do. Like said, Sue's and Bob's were kind of
we had a few things.
Okay, so the February 9th meeting, we will go ahead with Bob's and Sue's for the first reading, and then we'll bring forth two more or three more as they're ready for that meeting to go forth. And then Sally said we can forward Sue's and Bob's as they're ready off to the BOCES to go over that because they have to go over them. So if everybody, which policies are there? Do you have that? Bob's and Sue's?
Yes.
Okay. Bob's is personnel, 6,000 to 6,562.
Sue's.
And Sue's is student conduct and activities, 7,311 to 7,460.
So if everybody can review those at your leisure, it's riveting reading. And I think you have Sue's changes.
I do. I will forward them to the entire board to look at.
And Bob had one change.
He just had the honorarium.
The next meeting.
Okay.
And I did get the other ones. I got some emails today, and I just looked at my email, and I had two more email me. So I'm starting to get them in.
Okay, good.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
A little bit of prodding.
Phillies, I think.
Linda Worcester, that I got one of her.
I couldn't remember. Mm-hmm. Oh, somebody let me know. Okay.
Carrie sent you all of her changes, Carl. You should
yeah.
have all of Carrie's changes.
I have Carrie's. Did Mary read them? Mary have a copy of that?
So we'll talk about the rest of them at the next meeting and set up the how we're going to go in progression from there to the next one. Okay, sound good?
So just so I have it right, we have the first readings for the honorarium policy and then those two sections of policy, Bob's and Sue's,
yep.
on the next agenda.
Yep.
We'll keep going.
So somebody finds something and they're reviewing those and bring it up to Bob.
Well, yeah, bring it up, and then I will include it in the packet during the first reading.
For the next reading.
Correct.
And you'll just put the changes on a separate.
I will do that.
Because then it's got to go to the BOCES, and then they're going to.
I've already
changes.
Started a list of changes for each section as they were recommended. Once you decide which ones they will, I'll cross them off or add them on.
Okay. Superintendent search discussion. To discuss how we're going to go, if we're going to go with an interim or a new term or a superintendent search. So we've heard the pros and cons of both. So you want to go with an interim?
I think we should go with an interim.
So I need to contact BOCES and he said sometime in March, I believe, is when the search for the interim would take place. Do we need to vote on that?
Yes.
Okay. So then we need to vote to go for an interim, to appoint an interim, and start a search in March. Two votes. Two votes, yeah.
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
extensions?
So, I have a couple of things, I forgot how much before. Well, actually, the March meeting, what date is that, Carl?
Oh my goodness, March 14th.
Thanks, I had the 19th, just in case.
Did you send the email?
I did.
I know, no. She knows I'm gonna mess it up anyway.
March 4th?
14th.
No, 14th.
14th.
Sue's got, Sue's catching.
Folks, you got two meetings, one on February 2nd, one on March 14th for the community.
Yep.
The one on February 2nd is at 6 o'clock. There's a, an issue with the one on March 14th.
14th is what?
Yes.
The issue is that there are parent-teacher conferences up at the middle school, high school on the 14th that go until 7 o'clock. My suggestion is, instead of changing the date, to change the time of the meeting to 7, you may be able to drag in some of the parents who will be up here, your faculty will still be up here, some of them. It makes more sense than to try to change the date, that's just my two cents about it.
So until 7 o'clock was?
Right, change the community meeting to 7.
On the 14th?
Yes.
What time is the one on the 2nd?
The one on the 2nd is 6 o'clock.
Do we need a motion on that?
No, you just need to.
Just wanted to make aware, we wanted to discuss it to make sure it was okay.
Okay.
The one on February 2nd is still at 6.
Correct. There's also, I think Greg has an issue with the wood chip thing on February 1st.
Do we?
We have to make it till 7:30, I spoke to him. I could blame it on the guy at the place, but I can't. He's okay with it. I have to, I can't get out of work till 7, so we'll have to go at 7:30.
So you will leave the district office at 7:30?
Correct.
February 1st, Greg?
Yes.
I'm not gonna be unable to make it, because I'm back to work.
Yes.
If I try to get out.
Yeah.
Why?
If I can't, I might get a call at 6 o'clock and not be able to make it, so. If I can't make it, I can't. We'll leave it at that, that's the best we can do. Rather push it off, let's get it over with.
Or if you're, you know, happen to be in Albany for delivery.
You guys are dropping off on the street. Come on, pick me up.
No, you just come on, you'll get dropped off.
Yes, is that the Kasaki, I'm sorry, so Lisa looked into state.
I have a timeline from our financial advisor that just came in this afternoon.
This is if we gonna put it up for a vote?
Yep. I will tell you what they did when I called them.
This is the wood chip boiler, Tom.
They're like, where's the oxygen? Yep.
Just one thing, but, Lisa. When I spoke to the gentleman from, I can't remember.
Ace.
What is it?
The wood chip?
Yeah.
It's ACD.
ACD. They're gonna have an engineer, they're gonna have an engineer there, engineers the systems to talk to us about that process. So it's a package deal, we'll sit down and talk to some people, and we'll have a lot more information about how the process works from their end, as well as from the state.
Do you need to take pictures?
Excuse me?
Do you need to take pictures?
I take pictures, there's some pictures on the web too, I can do that website. I think the one Barb sent us has their website on it.
Yep.
The thing Barb sent you 2 weeks ago, that had the initial.
I'm talking about pictures from here for their engineer.
Well, somebody must have came down, that's a good question, I'll have to ask him, the engineer came here when he looked at the plant.
Same one there?
Oh, I don't know if an engineer came that time, they must have, somebody must have came down and looked at the plant.
Would it be helpful for somebody to take a couple of shots?
Yeah.
Take that with you?
Not that's Kevin, he's not here, is he, when he came to that site, is he?
Greg, it's Act Bioenergy, and it's David Dungy.
I call him Dungy.
This is Dungy.
Okay, this, this is a timeline of, for the voter referendum. And What it does, it works back from the date of the vote, which is May 16th. Okay?
Right.
So if just working backwards, you can see that right now, within between now and March 6th, you should select an architect. The 5-year facilities plan has to be complete. An executive summary must be completed. Alternative costs and a timing schedule. The district needs to apply for a letter of intent, which is just a very simple paperwork. The bond council needs to be contacted regarding the project financing. On March 6th, the seeker process needs to be established. It has to be completed prior to the vote. If I advised you of this last week, you cannot have a vote without having the seeker process completed. It will make your vote null and void.
What's seeker mean?
State Environmental Quality Review Act. It used to be the State Education Department was the lead agency. That law or rule changed several years ago, and districts are now the lead agency in determining the seeker classification for a project. March 9th, draft language has to be issued for the wording on the proposition. Your bond council takes care of that. We need to know the project costs. All the components of that language is specified by law. That's why the bond council drafts it. March 22nd, board meeting, you adopt the seeker resolution, adopt the wording for the proposition. On March 23rd, certified copies of the seeker determination is voted to the bond council. And the first publication of the legal notices go in the paper. At the same time, the legal notices go in the paper for the district meeting. There's a capital project newsletter that has to be sent to the voters. There's an optional public information meeting. And then there's other certified copies of the proposition and publication. All of that needs to be followed. But your main focus right now is, how much is this project going to cost? Who's going to develop this project? And getting the initial paperwork started with the state, the letter of intent filed. So this is your proposed timeline, and it's pretty tight. And again, it doesn't mean that the state is going to approve it. Don't forget, there's now a 5-priority system that the state has on projects. So it's
got to
go through that whole process, too.
Well, at the meeting on February 2nd, we'll have the report from their traveling group.
Right? Meeting on the
9th.
Yes. Traveling group. Traveling.
Oh, that meeting's on the 9th?
The board meeting is on the 9th.
We go to, Carla, correct me, we go there on the
1st. We might need 2 hours.
First.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we know that Kisaki said you had gotten some information from Kisaki as well.
Yep, I spoke to their business official, Leslie Poppleston. The boiler project went in as an addendum to an existing project. The reason the state was leaning towards aiding this is because their existing boilers are from the 1960s. So they are almost in an emergency situation where they need to be replaced. That's why they're looking at this as an alternative. CS Architects were their architects, and it had just been delivered to the state as an addendum to their project. And that's all she could tell me, because that's how far they were.
They're in a different situation because they're
totally
getting boilers
different.
Too. Right? We're just adding to our boilers.
Right.
If we don't get, explain the process, Lisa, if we don't get state aid,
then the cost
matter,
is borne entirely
by the taxpayers.
And it's a different there has to be some savings generated in order to offset that increased cost, because otherwise it makes no sense and you're just placing more burden on the taxpayers. Now, don't forget, the whole tax cap comes into play here. So if you're looking at asking the taxpayers to bear the burden of this, you have to stay within that tax cap. In other words, you can't say, well, we're going to ask you for $100,000 extra specifically for this project. It all falls within the limits of the cap.
Capital projects as well.
Yes, if they're yes, absolutely. Any cost in that budget, they haven't identified the exclusions, is going to be part
utility.
Of that cap.
More than likely, you're going to make that exclusion.
So.
You have to play by the rules.
Yep. There's a lot that needs to be thought about what's going to impact our future budgets. Is the savings going to generate enough to offset the cost? If you have building aid and the savings, you know, it should be a wash, if not a plus.
Right.
But you've got to get through the whole thing. It's not like that. Put it in your shopping cart and click.
This is the savings. I know the cost, the estimated cost of the system is $500,000. What is the savings? Does anybody have it up?
Well, they said year one, about $100,000.
$100,000 in
well,
fuel, offset, oil.
No,
it was based on $3.30 a gallon for the number two, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what you have to show us. No way it was that much.
You know, just remember, you have an engineer that you're going to see. Of course, they're going to sell their product. You need somebody that's looking out for the district that can run those numbers and say, okay, these numbers are inflated or these numbers are right on. It's just like hiring an architect to be your construction manager. Why would you want to do that? Who's watching what's going on? So just remember, you're going to have a sales job. You need somebody to verify what they're telling you is accurate.
I think actually it said that the numbers they used for wood chip fuel had to be the national number. It couldn't be what the actual number would be. That's what
right.
State said. They had to use the $80 a ton where the actual number, I think, was 50. We have to use the $80 a ton number.
You still need a representative from the district to verify the information that they're providing.
But if the state still wants to see if we go with this and don't get any state aid, they still want to make sure that the project is viable from a dollar point of view.
They still have to sign off whether we do any type of construction over $10,000. They need to sign off on what we do, whether it's aidable or not. So we still
right.
need their blessing.
I have the last one, and there's a graph on the oil cost difference, but it's not quite as legible. But back towards the end here, they talk about the economy of savings of pellets over propane.
Yeah, it's only
which propane is $2.50 a gallon, and the pellets $2.50 a ton. And they say over a 7-year simple payback system, your cost savings are $246,000.
Over propane,
and the oil is a higher cost.
Okay, our fuel oil budget for the high school is $180,000. We don't spend $180,000 a year. That's the budget.
You don't have the cost share. You can tell us what your last year cost was.
So I would be skeptical of that $100,000 savings.
Well, that's over 7 years.
No. Somebody said the first year.
Well, don't go by me. Cause I'm not that much of a detail person.
I won't get those numbers.
I wouldn't bank on anything I said on that.
We'll get find out from Kevin what the thing, fuel oil, what was paid for the last delivery, and compute that on how much this unit is actually going to burn or save, I guess, or how many BTUs it's going to. Simple to go BTU conversion from fuel to fuel.
Their estimation in their own literature is a 50% fuel cost savings. But if I remember correctly from when the proposal was given by ACT, there are times where it's not a 50% savings. The startup beginning of the year and the end down, the wind down.
Cold days too, they're using both.
And cold days, they're potentially using both. It depends on the quality of the chips. So there's a lot of information and depends.
And also, don't forget that the district has experienced savings with fuel and electricity because of the BOCES energy program that we bought into. So I'm not sure if that was taken into consideration when they provided the numbers. So, you know, let's make sure we're all talking about the same thing.
Well, if we could get Kevin to have for us before our trip up there in September. In February.
You're catching pretty
well. February 1st. You're only off a couple of days. I'm off several months.
She's in my notes.
February 1st.
She's going to be oblivious that day. Don't worry about it.
What do you want to have you?
I'm doing it. I got it. I was going to say last year's total consumption gallons and
just at the middle school.
Average. Yes, just at the middle high school. An average cost for last year and current delivery cost per gallon.
Number 2 going up. We had
you know
this discussion that it's gone up.
The average last year's cost and how many gallons we used. And the number, and well, not the number, but yeah, the delivery number, the most recent delivery, and the cost per gallon of the most recent delivery.
And gallons per last delivery?
Yes, gallons cost. And cost per gallon. For the last delivery. Just so we have a number, we can go and say, because with everything that we have to do to potentially do this project, I'd rather go in slow and steady and put it for next year and make sure we have all our ducks in a row. If the savings aren't as huge as deemed, then we'll have an idea.
So Lisa just said she budgeted $180,000. You don't know what the year to date is on that unit. I don't know if it's something you have right there.
No, this is an old. Okay. I think that's December's, and there wasn't any expenditure because we really, you know, always top off in June. So we weren't.
Not last year.
Yeah.
We had more.
So again, this is. Oh, this is November's. Sorry.
Yep.
All right, so we'll have those.
We should be able to.
We'll go into that meeting. Bright eyed and bushy tail.
He has to have all that for energy.
Yeah.
And then the February 9th meeting, we'll have some hard numbers and we'll discuss the actual savings as we foresee them. See if it's going to be worth it.
To try it out, sure. Something worthwhile.
Yep. Okay, so that's. That's all I have. Does anybody have anything else before we go to superintendent's side? No?
I had an update from yesterday before we get into that stuff. We had a Green County tabletop drill. All the schools in Green County came together, and what they do is they put out a scenario. You know, it's 1 o'clock, and this happens, and that happens, and they keep handing you notes, and you have to deal with it as you go along. EOC was there. It went pretty well. The scenario they gave us was an ice storm that put out all the power, and kids were sleeping overnight in school, and the power and lights were going out, and the kids were cold, and everyone has to react to it. So it's quite an interesting exercise. It was good to have all the districts represented there because they'll deal with EOC. Another thing they brought up was, I saw the article in the Times. It was called A Plan for the Unthinkable Deluge, and it talks about what would happen if the dam broke. And it's not just flooding. They really play it out to see which towns would be wiped out, what would happen, and it's, let me see what the date was.
That would happen.
1-9, as it was in there. Just read it. It's really long. They'll tell you that 6 hours after this happens, this will happen, and this will happen, and this will happen. And the Mohawk wall was spilled, and scary, scary. If you read it, it was scary. It's in Times Union. It's January 9th, the plan for the unthinkable deluge in the Times, New York Times. So anyway, the EOC was there, ran the show with Mike Needham, our safety consultant. And we'll have a plan for more local tabletops and another tabletop again, too. All part of the safety plan. I guess next on the agenda would be the charter school update. Tom, update on what's going on with that?
Barb is just passing out a letter of intent that I submitted today to SUNY.
Are you cold?
I put on a little weight. I'm just trying to hide one. So that's the letter, and the application is still, it's due the end of February. If the letter doesn't get accepted, then you can't hand in the application. The letter was pretty. Along with that, zip drive was submitted with evidence of community outreach. So it was pretty extensive. We'll find out next week if they'll accept the letter.
This went to SUNY, right?
Yeah. And then we'll find out next week if the letter of intent was good enough, met their standard. And then if it is, then we can submit an application. If it doesn't, we can't submit this February. We'd have to wait until spring to submit. So hopefully the letter's accepted so we can do it.
So if they don't accept the letter, they say, here, take this back, you need to work on this, this, and this? Is that what?
Yeah, it's step one, and if you don't complete step one to their satisfaction, then you can't go on to step two.
And what is step two?
The application. Submitting the application. Yeah. Then you submit the application. There's another request for proposals in the spring as well for schools that intend to open by 2013. So
the step after this would be the application.
Yeah.
And we would approve that before it goes.
No, the application would go. And if that gets approved and a charter is established, then we would have a year and a half. We'd be looking at 2013. We'd have a year and a half to then look at our facilities, look at possible space, look at possible leasing agreements and all those things and see if it worked. So if it didn't work as far as the district was concerned, then we wouldn't be able to use the facilities.
If the application is actually approved, it wouldn't depend upon the board making any further approval. A group of people could just do one.
A group, right, an outside group could totally come in and do one. Exactly. And follow the same path that we followed.
They wouldn't have to go through any other steps.
Exactly, right, yeah.
So that's a risk.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing to prevent anybody from doing that. We would know if somebody was doing that because it would get posted on the SUNY website. But that's the only way you would know. People wouldn't come to the board and say, hey, we're gonna submit here and there. They are supposed to, as part of the community outreach, any group is supposed to show evidence. That means press releases, questions and answers, give opportunity to the public, the general public, not just the school public, but the general public to comment. So that is part of the stipulation.
No. Sorry. Just based on this letter of intent. This is different than what the original proposal was, because this is saying it's going from 6 through 9 with a potential of 6 through 12. So the K through 5 has gone out the door.
The initial proposal is for 6 through 9, and we discussed that at the last board meeting. I don't know if we're at the board meeting. However, if the district, if we, as the charter entity, if the board, then at that point it would be like the charter board, wanted to extend it There are other measures that could be taken to go into the elementary. The 6 through 9 is a smaller chunk of it and would make it, in my estimation, would make it more feasible for the district to be able to, first of all, you have the online component, which is more geared towards the secondary students. And also just the size, the sheer size would be easier as far as the facilities and the facilities plan.